Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
Here's how we start Monday with a bit of Marketing Monday. And you know, due to COVID-19, a lot of brick and mortar businesses have had to take the drastic step and pivot. And then, you know, you see them turn to online platforms to keep the businesses running.
Yeah, we've seen that, haven't we? And it can be a little bit overwhelming. Even if a business has been running an e-commerce site for years, it can still be quite challenging to stay ahead of the competition. So online retail marketing, I mean, you have to put a lot of work into that.
Well, let's see if we can put in some context, right? Let's see. You've got product descriptions, images to optimize. You've got a website to manage. You've got to test that website. You've got to review, cultivate, and then you've got to respond to, you know, people that are going to that website, campaigns to monitor, you've got to run those campaigns. It just goes on and on.
Intense. And sometimes it's just one person for a small business handling all of these things. Well, the good news is that while there are always more things a business could be doing, most retail businesses can get great results online if they use a few specific strategies.
And we're going to find out more about the challenges with online retail marketing and what kind of strategies can be implemented to make this, you know, the entire campaign work. On the line with us this morning is Lynn Goh, Senior Lead Strategist at Impossible Marketing. Good morning, Lynn.
Hi, good morning.
Impossible Marketing. So you're like part of the Tom Cruise team of online marketing, huh?
In a way, but I think if somebody were to read it, it's actually I Am Possible Marketing.
Ah, oh, I like
so,
it.
So we should say it as I Am Possible Marketing or Impossible?
But usually people actually remember us or call us by Impossible Marketing.
Right, right.
It sounds catchy.
It is. And we tried to break down, you know, what goes into online marketing, like websites and all that. But maybe you could do a better job for us. Tell us, what makes up online marketing?
Okay, online marketing is actually made up of all the different assets that is online. So, for example, like what you have mentioned earlier on, websites. Okay, we could be looking things at the social media accounts like Facebook, Instagram, you know, depending your industry itself. Some of them could even be on their shopping websites like Q10 or even Shopee. So all these are what we call the online assets. And when we talk about online marketing, is, you know, how to actually manage and let people know about more about the company via all these different channels.
Yeah, I guess that's the problem, isn't it? There are so many different channels. So when COVID-19 struck, right, you had all of these brick and mortar shops that suddenly had to pivot online in a much bigger way. But I suppose the confusion was, which route do I take, right?
Okay, so if you're asking in terms of which one will be the better one, or at least which one do you want to even start off with, I think the very first question individual must ask themselves, okay, where is their potential customer is going to be at? Okay, so are they, you know, actively on, for example, Facebook? Okay, or maybe some of the target audience that are slightly younger, they can always be quite frequently found on Instagram or even on the shopping apps. So all you need to do, right, is really to focus on one of the channels instead of having to work on so many channels if, let's say, you're handling it by yourself. So at least that itself won't be such a fearful start for any individual.
I guess, though, step number one is then, before you choose a channel, you have to really know who you're targeting.
Yes, that's right. Who is your customer and where are they at?
I've got an interesting question for you, Lynn.
In
this scenario where you talk about, you know, pivoting to online retail marketing, is it fair to say that just because you're a big brand, you will do better than the smaller players? Do they have an advantage?
In a way, big brands definitely have an advantage when it comes to online retail marketing, since, you know, people have already known them and actually trust them. However, in the digital world, smaller brands or even a new startup or new brand itself will have a share play, okay, online. So if, let's say, they were to do their online retail marketing strategy right, I've seen many of them who actually excel or even perform even better than big brands.
Mm.
So Lynn, let's say, right, you know your customer and you know that you want to pivot, right? Where do you actually begin? Let's say you're a small company and the thing sometimes that's overwhelming is how do I take that first step?
Okay, so like earlier on, okay, I've mentioned about knowing where your customer are at. So all you need to do is to just focus on a single channel. So for most of my customers, if let's say they are retail, they are dealing with consumer, I would usually recommend to first start off with Facebook, because there's also the channels that most of the people, they are more familiar with. Okay, and to start up a Facebook channel, it will be so easy, okay, and it's so fast. Anyone can actually set up their Facebook page at most with a 5 minute of their time.
Okay. What about, you know, I mean, if you're selling goods, partnering with a sales platform, is it better to just make sure it goes through the website or, I don't know, Amazon? Is this something worth considering? I see where the marketing part, where Facebook is concerned.
Okay. So personally, if let's say for anyone who is new, you know, they do not have a lot of experience with website, definitely they can actually tap into all these shopping websites. Okay, like Shopee, Q10, or even Amazon, because it really helps them in saving, you know, their time on exploring how to actually create their own website.
Okay.
Do you know what? I really love sharing personal stories when we talk about stuff like this, because this is how you learn a lot on the go, don't you? So during Circuit Breaker, or towards the end of Circuit Breaker, I had to order some garden furniture. And I think that's been one of the really popular products lately. But it got delivered, and then it really didn't suit it didn't suit my space. But this is one of the issues, right, when it comes to your marketing strategy. There are some products that work online and some that really don't. And so how do you figure that out?
Okay, so I think firstly, we need to look at the item, okay? So if let's say we are talking about purchasing things online, people tend to be more responsive to buy things online when the item is less pricier or less bulky, something that is smaller. So for anything that is higher ticketing or bigger items itself, like beds, furniture, like you mentioned earlier on, people still prefer to actually purchase it in the store directly, whereby they can actually see, test it, and even feel the products by themselves.
Okay, to follow up on what you talked about, testing, feeling the products, that's something we love doing as humans, right? So I want to use a bit of case study for this. Let's take, for example, ASOS. You buy clothes on the website, obviously. But apart from looking at photos, at the very end, there is like a video of the model wearing the product. And they briefly describe what's the cutting of the particular jacket or dress that they're wearing, right?
Yes.
What are your thoughts on using video production when it comes to marketing, or perhaps a video tutorial of how to use some kitchenware or something like that? Is that really effective?
Definitely, if based on experience, based on the data that I've been seeing throughout the years itself, definitely if with videos that can actually showcase the how the item is being used, you know, demonstration of the videos itself, like it tends to capture people's attention on the social media itself or the advertising platform. So definitely in comparison to just a still image, okay, using a video itself, it definitely can actually portray a bigger picture of what the products can do itself.
Might help with the urge of, you know, because we like to look at it and try it on for ourselves.
Yeah,
so
correct. Maybe that helps. Can actually visualize it.
Visualize. Okay.
So one of the other big things that comes up with, you know, this online marketing world, isn't it, is influencer marketing, particularly with online retail markets. It's interesting, actually. You know, there's a bar near where I live, which used to be very empty, and then suddenly all the tables were booked out. And that was because some bloggers turned up, and the next thing you know, they're booked out for the next 2 months. So, and we see this a lot happening here in Singapore. How important is this influencer marketing aspect of this?
Okay, definitely you mentioned a great point. Okay, influencer marketing in Singapore is getting more and more popular for sure. Okay, so we need to first understand, followers tend to follow influencer because they trust or they actually like about them. So each of the influencer, they have a certain team. So some of them could be a food influencer, okay, some of them could be a beauty influencer, or some could be even a sports influencer. So each of them are already starts to accumulate, you know, 100,000 to even millions of followers, okay, within that specific interest group. So people go to them is because, you know, this influencer always promote about a certain food, you know, places to go that they can actually get good food. So if any of the influencer were to recommend a particular location or a particular product itself, the their followers itself, like, generally will almost trust that that location is good. Okay, so it definitely helps to save the owners, okay, a lot of time and effort in finding their right customer, because the followers of the influencer itself is that target. They are the target group of audience.
Okay, I've got a half and half question here. When you say that, wouldn't it be better to go into it already knowing who my target audience is, and then based on that, identify the influencer that has the most of that such of an audience? What are your thoughts, Lynn?
My thoughts will be definitely, because if let's say you have a specific products or a specific services that you're trying to market itself, definitely you will have kind of like understanding of who is your target audience. Okay. However, since we are talking about influencer, there are actually quite a number of them that are quite active online itself.
Okay,
so
okay.
The idea is to try to get as many influencer as possible, because if let's say one of them were to say that this place is good, okay, people tend to believe. But if today I have 10 different influencer of the similar category or industry were to say that this place is really awesome, okay, I think, you know, that is where people will start flooding that restaurant itself, or to start purchasing the items until it's out of stock.
I see where you're coming from. And very quickly, maybe you can take this as advice that you would give. Say I have just started a business, it's very new, I only got X amount of dollars. What would you recommend? I go to an influencer first to help build up my database, or I invest in an analyzing tool, some kind of analytics? Which would you recommend more for someone that's really just started getting into the online marketing game?
Okay, if someone that just started and they have limited budget, I think for marketing itself, it comes in phases. Definitely the first phase, I will recommend to maybe, if the budget allows, engage the influencer first, okay? To actually get the brand out there,
okay.
Get the brand to be known first, okay? So from there, if eventually at the second phase, they have a budget, okay, that is where they can start investing in data analytics too. That is also very important. But I think at the start, you know, definitely brand awareness comes in first, because if without that, okay, even you have that software, you have that tools, you do not have any data for you to even start analyzing with.
That's a really good point. We're speaking to Lynn Goh, Senior Lead Strategist at I Am Possible Marketing. Lynn, I want to ask you about this. And Elliot, I'm sure you've experienced this as well, right? You get online, you're on some retail website, you put all these things in your cart, and then you get to the cart, and then it tells you that it's going to charge you the same percentage of half just to get the stuff delivered or something like that. And then you just go, forget it. I don't want to do this. How can websites get better at making sure that they keep the customer and they get that ultimate conversion right at the end? Because cart abandonment, that's a really big issue here, right?
Yes, definitely. I think that is one of the very common problems that e-commerce websites always face. Okay, so definitely I have a few things that I can share, and for people, those business owners, online business owners, can actually take into consideration. So first thing, okay, you need to take a look at the website data, understand at which point of the website did your potential customer drop out of the order process. So with this itself, you will know exactly at which step, okay, that people tend to leave. Is there any way that we can actually better improve in the order process? Okay, so number two, we need to relook the website flow as much as possible. We want to consider the user journey of the website. We want to simplify the process. You know, don't have too many steps. Instead of having 10 steps, let's minimize it to 2-step or 3-step checkout. Okay? Always use trusted payment gateway, and also offer multiple payment options. Because sometimes if you only have one option, you know, people do not have that payment option itself, right? They will just think that it's a hassle and they will just decide to forego the purchase. Okay? And one last point is to be crystal clear about the cost upfront, especially the shipping cost. You know, you do not want to scare off your potential customer at the shipping price, whereby they purchase something, a certain items at $10, and they need to pay a $25 shipping fee.
Yeah.
So that is where people will definitely say that, no, I'm not going to purchase it. So be crystal clear of all these terms and conditions right at the start, so that everything is very transparent. People will tend to believe the website, will tend to believe the company itself.
Well, certainly hope these tips help your start of the week sales and marketing meetings.
Yeah.
We've been speaking with Lynn Goh, Senior Lead Strategist at I Am Possible Marketing. Lynn, thanks for your time. Take care and stay safe.
Thank you. Thank you so much for your time.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.